Committee on Elections will come to order. Thank you all for being here today. I don't see Senator Scheid in the room or Senator Higgins, so the next bill up, Senator Pappas, is, if you're ready, Senate File 160. Oh, I'm sorry, and a quorum is present.
Madam Chair, under current law, candidates are allowed access to apartments to campaign. Typically, they have to call the management office and make arrangements. What this does is it expands the law slightly and clarifies some things to say that a candidate, once you file for office, you are considered a candidate. You don't have to be on that specific ballot. So for us as senators, it means during a year when our House members are up, we could go door-to-door with them or with their literature and help them, and with our own literature if we wanted to during off years. And you can only go in your own area where you're that you represent, and it's for the purpose of registering voters, campaigning for candidates, and getting out the vote. The only exception to this was, and you are permitted to leave campaign materials at the door. They can't restrict you to say you can only hand it to somebody. It happened to me once where they said, well, if someone answers the door, you can hand them the literature, but if they don't answer the door, you can't leave it at the door. So we're clarifying that you can leave it at the door in an orderly manner, with the only exception being that with a nursing home. You could leave it at a central location and not go door-to-door in a nursing home. And I think currently in current law, you can go door-to-door in a nursing home. We passed this bill last year. I believe I might have even passed it on the floor last year, and it was on the floor of the House when we adjourned, and the House never took it up. So,
Senator Pappas, do you have anyone who would like to testify?
Mr. Horner, if he found us, was going to testify. He supported it last year. And then we had someone else who wanted to comment on it.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bruce Claven. I'm with the Minnesota Association of Cooperatives, which is now known as the Cooperative Network. And I'm sure a lot of you are wondering, why is there an ag guy in the elections subdivision? The reason is, in our association, we have dairy co-ops and grain elevators and so forth, and we also have a segment of senior housing co-op members. And they raised this bill to me a couple of years ago. I think it was during the 06 election. They were asking for a legal opinion about whether candidates could go through their hallways and so forth. And so Senator Pappas introduced the bill here, and I picked it up, and I just looked at it yesterday. And to be fair, I just talked to her before the committee, and if she wants to take any of my suggestions in Senator Rest's full division, now that was fine for me. But I just talked to her about it. Anyway, the nursing home, a senior housing co-op is not similar to a nursing home in terms of the amount of care staff you had, but the safety factor that the senior residents felt about having strangers running up and down the hallway was the issue they raised to me. And so the suggestion I had was on line 1.19 after nursing home, insert, or a senior housing co-op. And again, I'm kind of doing this on the fly, and I just talked to the author a few minutes ago about that. And it has to do, again, with that safety factor of strangers in the hallway and that you'd have the access to the candidates in the central location. Now, the key word in my suggestion is senior. There are housing co-ops that are simply housing co-ops that members of all ages live in. There's a bunch over by Linden Hills, for example. And this would be just for senior housing co-ops. It's an issue they raised. I just want to bring it to the committee's attention to see what you all think. Certainly deliberate it, but that was my testimony, Madam Chair, on the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Cliven. Mr. Bodden, is there a definition of what a senior housing co-op is in statute?
Madam Chair, I don't have that.
I think
Mr. Cliven would be an expert
in that. Madam Chair, thank you. Chapter 308A is the co-op law. There's also one in 308B, and there wasn't a definition. I was anticipating I'd be asked that or we'd try to define it for you, and I didn't see one there either. But a co-op is going to be formed under Chapter 308A or 308B, and that's a different entity than a corporation and a limited liability company and so forth. It functions different than other businesses. So co-op certainly is defined somewhere, and if it's not in statute, it's by the way it's operated. And then senior would imply 65 or older. So.
Taking away the opportunity the candidates have now is what we do. And I think that, I don't know anybody that goes around knocking on doors of nursing homes anyway. This is just common sense kind of issue. But the senior co-op in my district, those are active seniors. They're not, I mean, I guess what's the age for that senior co-op?
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, I believe it's 65 and older, but I couldn't say that for sure.
So here I am. I really don't think I need to be at 66 years old to be protected by a candidate or candidate workers, and I would be eligible to live in any senior co-op. And there certainly may be vulnerable people, but they're vulnerable to people that are living in apartment buildings. And you're not suggesting that we limit that. So I appreciate people who don't want to be bothered by anybody, but I don't think we should single out the senior co-ops and be kind of in loco parentis for them, people who are still actively leading their lives, driving cars, et cetera.
Senator Rest, I'd just like to add that I think that my senior housing center in South St. Paul would be very upset if they found out that I could no longer campaign at their doors because they actually expect me to be there. And if I don't show up at a periodic basis, they ask where I've been, too. So I tend to agree with you.
And further, I think that in general that candidates want somebody's vote, and if they're and they know the district and they know the different cultures that are in each of the apartment buildings, managers and whatever, and if it's going to be detrimental to their getting votes, then I think they'll leave the literature in a central place and just go on. But that shouldn't be, I don't think that should be totally the discretion of the manager.
Madam Chair, we had members raise this in 06. I saw the bill. There's no even amendment on the floor here, so I wanted to raise that because people had raised it to me. So appreciate your comments, Senator Rest, and that's my testimony, Madam Chair.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is a good reason why we have subcommittees, and the author did not go back and check her language. This was changed somehow, and it doesn't work, because the idea is that if you are a new candidate, you want to be able to start campaigning in May or June, not wait until you file. And if you are a current elected official, you want to be able to go door-to-door and talk to your constituents, even if you're not on the ballot that year. That's kind of the goal. Right? And so I don't want to discriminate against candidates and just say elected officials. So what the three of us were discussing is maybe the language in Subdivision 1 needs to say something closer to if you have filed a campaign committee with the Campaign Finance Board. Then you are officially a candidate. We don't have to wait till your July filing with the Secretary of State. And then that we think that would probably work. So Mr. Bodern has something, but we may want to revisit it in full committee.
Mr. Bodern, do you have something
to say?
Madam Chair, members, what you would do would be to on page 1, line 11, delete the new language.
Because the language.
I think this would work. I'll bring it together on the fly. Has organized a campaign committee that is currently registered with the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board.
Does everyone understand the amendment?
Yeah, I'm a member of the committee, so I can move it.
Mr. Bodern.
And Madam Chair, I'm noticing here, too, there's additional language on line 1.11.
On line what?
on line 1.11, there's existing language that I think you would need to delete in order to make that amendment work. I think you would need to delete for election to public office, so that the new language would read, beginning roughly on line 1.10, to a candidate who has organized a campaign committee that is currently registered with the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, or to campaign workers accompanied by the candidate.
I'll move that.
Senator Pappas moves the amendment on 1.11. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Okay, Madam Chair.
In response to the issue of senior co-op housing, that actually restricts current law, where current law a candidate can go into a senior co-op housing. And I think most senior co-op housing, my mother lives in one, Senator Ress represents it, they want you to register at the door. And when I do apartment buildings, I always call ahead of time. I think the law asks you to arrange, I can't remember where it is, maybe it's not in this, what we have before us, to call ahead of time with the management, and it has to be at a kind of mutually convenient time. And so what they would do is they would put up signs in the elevator telling people that, you know, Senator Rest or Senator Pappas was coming between 2 and 4 on Saturday afternoon. They're going to be knocking at your door, you know, to visit with you about the election. And then you could leave a piece of literature under the door or around the doorknob, however you want to do it. And so just thinking of the people who live in senior co-op housing, they're, you know, you only have to be 55 to live there. You don't have to – it's not assisted living. And, yes, it is a secure building, but you are making arrangements ahead of time, and the management is aware that you're coming, and they're telling the residents. So I don't really see any reason why they should be treated any differently than any other apartment building. I mean, public housing is a mixture of seniors and disabled people. Certainly they're very vulnerable as well, and the public housing people welcome public officials coming into the building and informing the residents about when they should vote.
Senator Pappas, thank you for your comments. Would anyone else like to testify either in favor or against Senate File 160? Anne, please. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Higgins. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ann Higgins from the League of Minnesota Cities. I'm not here. I'm only here to clarify one item. You're amending 211B, and that also refers to local candidates. The amendment that you just accepted, instead of saying file with the Campaign Finance Board, should also say, I don't know what the language would be. That's my problem. Would be submit paper or the appropriate whatever steps a candidate makes to make their campaign known to a municipal clerk.
Yes.
Because they do file a campaign report of some kind saying that they are receiving or spending money on behalf of their campaign. Mm-hmm. That might be a comparable mm-hmm. scenario, but I'm not quite sure how to word it. But
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, also don't forget the federal. They, of course, file FEC papers, not state or not the local. So you've got kind of it's gotten more complicated.
Right. Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I mean, I think what's good for the state legislators should be good for the federal and the local elected officials.
But I'm wondering if perhaps we could just – you could work on the language and then bring it up before the full committee.
Yeah.
You want to do it here.
But the campaign finance board say something about with the appropriate
filing authority, or with the
appropriate something
authority.
Maybe instead of
we don't want it to be just the Secretary of State because that's like July, right? That's
right.
Filing. We want it to be once you organize, Madam Chair, once you organize a campaign committee, basically.
Madam Chair, I think we know what we want to do, and I would suggest that maybe Senator Pappas could work with Mr. Barber on getting to that point and play the bill over and take up Senator Shine's bill.
Senator Gerlach?
Well, Madam Chair, I have another piece of this I'd like to talk about, too. I mean, you can work on that, but I
can
possibly
propose amendment.
Please go
ahead about that.
Senator Pappas, probably.
Oh,
wherever. All right. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Pappas. I remember the bill from last year, and I made a couple of notes on some things, and I specifically remember we had this discussion about the filing issue and how does that work with challengers and incumbents and such, so I'm glad we're fixing that. I don't remember our fix from last year, but I thought we fixed it last year.
I thought we did, too. I don't know who did this draft for me.
But then another, there is some language in here that I don't remember from last year, so I don't know that this is, so this is not the same bill.
Maybe there were floor changes or something.
I don't know. But there's a specific point here, and I just want you to know, I think I voted for this bill last time, and I intend to most likely vote for it here today. But I wanted to ask you about one specific thing on here. We've got on lines 13 and 14 that it's okay if candidates workers are seeking admittance to the facility do so solely for the purpose of campaigning, and then you've got three items. Well, for a candidate, okay, that's the one, registering voters or getting out the vote. And what jumped out at me was that getting out the vote. Mm-hmm. That's a very selective, specific political act. I mean, obviously a candidate campaigning. Mm-hmm. I was just uncomfortable about putting a campaign mechanic, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We all know what get out the vote is. Mm-hmm. You're not entering a facility. For example, a candidate will go in a facility, you think, to talk to everybody. Talk about the issues, certainly ask for a vote or whatever it is. It is political. We know that. Registering voters is a more generalist type of a thing. You're finding out who's not registered, and you're registering voters. Then throughout the duration of the campaign, as we know, we separate voters into various spots, and the get out the vote group is a selective subgroup of everybody in a facility. Mm-hmm. And that is just, to me, that's just much more overtly political than mm-hmm. just the other stuff. And I just feel real uncomfortable having get out the vote in there. I mean, you could, you know, I'd like to, you know, maybe propose striking that and just, I mean, campaigning for a candidate kind of you could
covers it. Yeah.
But just putting get out the vote in statute mm-hmm. like that, when that is a mechanical campaign process of any of us.
Also a term of art, too.
It should have been reminding voters
whatever
to
it
vote
is.
Or something.
Working for a candidate, mm-hmm. registering voters, I think, are sufficiently broad mm-hmm. and general in terms. So I guess, Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the striking the or getting out the vote and just having it working for a candidate or registering voters. And you could comment on that. I guess I'd offer that as an amendment.
Madam Chair, I think that's fine. I think Senator Gerlach is right, that campaigning for a candidate is broad enough to cover.
Before we move to your motion, Senator Gerlach, I just thought of something while you were saying that, in that if someone is campaigning for a particular ballot question or something other than a candidate, I wonder how they would be. There's nothing in this language that allows that. For instance, if someone was campaigning for or against a school referendum.
Might be the next amendment.
Yeah, I wonder if that has come up, Senator Pappas, or if you consider that.
Well, and those issues under current law, you would have to have a candidate with you. So people who were supporting or opposing a school referendum would not be allowed access into a building unless they had a candidate with them. As we're broadly defining it,
a candidate, just any candidate, even if it's not, would it?
Yes, any candidate.
Maybe we could work on that.
And although, you know, the ballot measure is not really campaigning for a candidate,
correct.
Either. So,
correct. Well,
maybe we do need some language that say, or a ballot measure.
I just think voters,
or a ballot measure instead of getting out the vote.
I think this is a really good start in terms of what it's trying to do, but I think it really does need to be laid over Senator Pappas mm-hmm. and take some of these ideas and do them.
Okay. You
know, and we should decide whether we want it to be open to citizens who are campaigning on a ballot. Without a candidate.
Madam Chair, yeah, I know that I having done this for many years, I have many, many apartments in my district. I represent downtown St. Paul, that, you know, building owners are now used to me coming, but they are not very comfortable with just campaign workers coming. They feel like, you know, I'm there, I'm responsible, I supervise them. They know who to complain to if somebody does anything they don't like, they're too loud or whatever. And so there's some accountability there. And I think that the building owners, which I don't think Jack Horner has found us yet, they might not be very supportive.
Senator Pappas, and on the other side, though, I understand your point, but it seems that if the idea here is to give people who live in apartment buildings access to information, that if you're only allowing candidates to come and speak with them but restricting it from campaign workers who could be supporting a ballot initiative or a referendum or something, that you're not providing equal access.
Well, Madam Chair, more and more people are starting to live in apartments, and they are accustomed to a certain level of privacy and security. We typically do not go into condominiums for that very reason, that you kind of sometimes make more enemies than friends because they feel like their privacy is invaded upon. Yet you could knock on the doors of private homes freely.
Sometimes they feel the same way too, though.
Right.
So, Senator Pappas, I'll leave it up to you whether would you like to lay the bill over?
Yeah,
now?
We can lay it over. And
Madam Chair. Take care of
we'll
Senator
Gerlach's
issues.
Oh, okay.
Well, Madam Chair, we don't need to do that as an amendment. I mean, you're going to be working on other language, and then.
Well, Madam Chair, do you want me to work on it right now during the meeting, not come back to a later meeting, right?
Yeah, if you can resolve things.
Yeah. So, Senator Gerlach, you can make your motion.
Okay. Well, then I'll make the.
Senator Gerlach moves to delete language on 1.14 or getting out the vote, semicolon.
And, Madam Chair, we probably have to fix the, because there's a candidate to have to say and registering voters.
Thank you. Delete the comma.
Delete the comma.
Insert the word or before the word registering. So the line will read, purpose of campaigning for a candidate or registering voters. And also delete the and. All those in favor?
Not the and. Because that goes on to the second.
Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Senate file 160, as amended, is laid over. Temporarily. So, Senator Scheid, I see you are in the room. Thank you for being here. Before us, we have Senate file 32.
One of my favorite committees forever in the legislature. And I don't work on it very much anymore. I had a contact from a constituent last September. She was going to be an election judge for the first time, and at the training was told that there was an oath for election judges, and it says in 204B.24, and state your name, of course, solemnly swear that I will perform the duties. We contacted Peter Watson and others, I think, about this, and we do have in 645.44, subdivision 6, language that says oath includes affirmation in all cases where by law an affirmation may be substituted for an oath. But he thought it would probably make good sense to just, because this is printed, you know, for the election judges, so this will clearly say that they may also affirm. And so it seems very simple. I really think it is. We always hesitate to say that, but I think that it's pretty clear what we're doing here, and I think it would be helpful to city clerks and other election officials so that they would just know that a person may affirm. And I think that we went to this in the case of the constituent in the district I represent. It was a religious matter, and there are people who for religious reasons do not swear an oath but do affirm. So
is there any discussion, Senator Rest?
No. Madam Chair, I would just make a motion.
Senate,
move that Senate File 32 be recommended to pass and refer to the full committee.
On the motion, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? The motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Scheid.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next bill on the agenda, I don't see Senator Higgins here, so Senator Olsen, if you're ready, Senate File 551.
Madam Chair, members, I'm here today on Senate File 551, and this is for mail-in ballots. It basically, well, I do have a couple amendments. Should I move those first?
Yes.
And can I have people to speak to those amendments? Because they're, well, one of them, the A2 amendment is pretty simple, but the A1, I think Beth Frazier from the Secretary of State's office is here.
Like to move the A2 amendment first,
then? I will move the A2 amendment.
Is there any
author's amendment?
Oh.
You can just talk about them later.
Okay. Senator Olsen moves the A2 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. A1 amendment, Senator Olsen.
Okay. Speaking to that, I'll let Ms. Frazier.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Beth Frazier. I'm with the Secretary of State's office. And this amendment has to do with mail elections. And we made similar changes to the previous section in statute last year and neglected to make them to this section. So it's bringing this section into conformity with the prior section in law 204B.45. Basically, right now, in these elections, the mail balloting period begins 20 days before the election, but the absentee balloting period begins 30 days before the election. So if there are voters who are going to be out of town starting 20 days out, they come in and do absentee voting because they're not eligible to get a mail ballot yet, which is just somewhat confusing. It's a hassle for the voters. So what this amendment does is it says mail balloting, the ballots may be sent out right at the beginning of the absentee balloting period. And if they do that, because voter registration ends on the 20th day before the election, if there are additional people that register to vote, they have to send those people the ballots. So that's what this amendment does.
Senator Rest.
And what is this? You said there's similar language for something else. And where is that?
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, that's in 204B.45, which has to do with mail elections in certain jurisdictions, and this has to do with mail elections on questions. So we're just making the timing the same for both of those.
It's more just a conforming. Any other discussion on the amendment? Senator Olsen moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
To the bill, Senator Olsen.
To the bill, in the form that I desire now. This basically, the only really significant change is that it raises the number or the size of a municipality from 400 to 1,000. And then also we struck the section 2 with closing times, so that's no longer part of the bill. But I would have, if I may, have Ken Solomon from the Township Association come up and address how many jurisdictions this might affect.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kent Sulem with the Minnesota Association of Townships. And I apologize, I don't have the breakdown. I submitted it to Senator Rest's staff earlier, and I neglected to have my copy handy. But we did do a breakdown at the request when this bill was moving forward to identify the several hundred additional rural communities that would be benefited by this bill. Mail balloting is fairly widely used at the township level right now, as well as other jurisdictions. And if you look at areas like Cook County and Lake County, they consistently have some of the highest voter turnout in elections because they are doing 98-99% mail balloting. It is an optional statute. You're not required to go to it, but it just creates greater flexibility. And in the rural areas, it is very helpful. Just doing some quick math. In just the top 10 counties that would be affected, you have about 200 additional townships that would become eligible. I don't have the breakdown of the currently eligible, but that's just in the largest, most affected counties. If you go statewide, it opens it up great more. And it's just a tool that has been very well used by townships currently, and this, we feel, would be a great benefit to the rural communities.
Question. Well, it's up to you. Did you have a question for the author?
Okay. Sure. All right.
Senator Olstein, do you have anyone else who'd like to testify?
I'm done with my testifiers. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Olstein, I have no experience in mail elections. I represent three cities, and they're far above the 400 or the 1,000 population, so, and I don't have any townships. So this is something I have no experience in. So I do have a couple of questions about this, and as I look at this, really almost every elections bill we bring before the subcommittee, I think, it moves the pendulum in one direction or the other. I mean, we're either opening up and loosening up things, or we tend to be, you know, tightening them down and being more restrictive, and we're always trying to find that balance. So my first question for you is a question we should ask with every bill that comes before us is, what problem is this bill trying to solve? What does 1,000 do that 400, other than it's a larger number and more cities can do this, what problem are we trying to solve?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach, I think it's just trying to make the mail option available to more townships. I represent about 20 townships in my district, but they're all well over this 1,000 limit, so it would not affect anybody in my district either, but I think it is an economical way for a small entity like a township to conduct an election, and so I suspect that's maybe the driver, is to open it up to more townships to have the option.
Senator Gerlach?
In response to that question, too.
Senator Rest?
I think what we also heard in the election we just had was the amazing turnout in these mail-in elections. Like, they were getting 90%, 95% turnout. And that, I mean, this would be one where we would expect they're going, I don't know which way like the pendulum going, but this would be something that would encourage voter turnout, because they have such great voter turnout in these mail-in elections, and we discovered that in the 2008 election, and so it seemed like a reasonable idea to say, well, let's say if that same pattern would emerge based on the experience that we have with these townships under 400, to expand that to a greater number.
Senator.
Voter turnout, what I would say, is the driving, as well as it's probably cheaper. And you don't have to have, sometimes it's a real burden to have actual polling places. We've heard that before, where they put the voting, whatever they use, on the back of a truck and move it around. But I think the voter turnout was what we heard most from the election
commission. Senator Gerlach.
Voter turnout, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And again, I have no experience with this. I'm somewhat resistant on things like mail-in or voting online or voting, you know, early voting, all those sorts of things that I'm skeptical of, some, you know, those things. Is there Now, this is not absentee voting. This is very different. This is conducting just the regular, essentially it's kind of, well, you just, do you automatically send out the ballots, or is that how that works? Just automatic to the, whoever's on a registered voter list gets it, and then the, those who decide to send it in, and that's your turnout. Okay. Is there, I guess I don't know who would have the answer to this. I bet you Fraser might have an answer to that. Or also, Kent, Mr. Solander as well, is there any statistics on how many of these are bad ballots or anything like that? I mean, I guess I, on the pendulum, expanding it is good as long as we have, we don't want to loosen the integrity of the system. So I want to be cautious of that. And that's why, you know, I just think, you know, opening up to all the extra stuff, can be, there's some danger in that if we don't watch for that balance. So what are, what's our experience with the results of this? Because I think, I mean, I don't think anybody's ready to go to some kind of statewide mail-in ballot at all. And I realize this is a modest proposal. We're not eating children, but this is a modest proposal. So anyway, what is the, you're familiar with that story, right? What is our experience with the reliability of these mail-in ballots?
Ms. Frazier.
Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach. I'm not sure I have the statistics that you're looking for, but mail balloting, as Senator Rust was saying, has been very successful in parts of the state that have used it. Kitson County, for example, has gone to nearly all mail balloting, and their voter turnout was decreasing as their population aged and then spiked and has continued to remain very high, around 98% or something in that range since they went to mail balloting. The way it works is that the auditor mails ballots to every registered voter. So the voter receives the ballot at their home. They get the time they need to fill it out. They return it. All ballots received by 8 p.m. on election day are opened and counted.
Senator Gerlach?
I'm sure on timing, so I understand this as well, because I don't like the idea of the early voting because things happen at the last minute in elections that change things. And so there's supposed to be the campaign phase and then the decision. What's the time frame for when they do a mail-in election? I'm sure it's all spelled out in law. How much earlier before the election day is there allowed for mail-in, these mail-in elections?
Ms. Frazier.
Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach. The amendment that was just added and the change that was made last year says that the ballots are mailed out or can be mailed out as early as 30 days ahead, just like absentee ballots. And then it's up to the voter to choose when to return them, as long and trying to make sure that it gets in by 8 p.m. on election day. They also have the option of voting at the county auditor's office in person as well. So, I mean, to a certain extent, the voter is making, you know, an educated guess when they fill out their ballot and when they decide to submit it. If they want to wait to the last minute to see if a scandal brews, you know, they can go to the auditor's office on election day. But if they're fairly confident of their choices, they can send in their ballot sooner.
Senator Rest.
But this is a true ballot. It is not an absentee ballot. So if you change your mind, too bad. I mean, this is a real ballot. You cannot go to the county auditor on election day and have them set aside your ballot. Is that correct? The one you mailed in. It's not an absentee ballot.
Ms. Frazier?
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, I believe that's accurate. I would want to look at the statutes to double check, but I think that's
it. Senator Gerlach? Oh, sorry. Is there any other discussion on Senate File 551? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify either in support or in favor of it? Senator Olstein moves that Senate File 551 as amended be recommended to pass and move to the referred to the full committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Senator Shy. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Higgins, I mean, who I understand you are chairing a committee, so thank you for.
Senator Lance, who is my vice chair, said, Madam Chair, and I said, no, Mr. Chair, you're it. And off I went. So,
thank you, Senator Higgins. We have Senate File 284 before us.
And I'm sure the person who was supposed to be here to testify on this, who has the actual knowledge, is not in the room. So wish me luck for winging it. In some of the cities of the first class, St. Paul and Minneapolis, we have off-year precinct caucuses. St. Paul had theirs a couple weeks ago. Minneapolis's is the first Tuesday in March. And they are for the elections for mayor, city council. Minneapolis has a park board, so a park board, that kind of thing. In Minneapolis, it's a fairly new phenomenon. This is only the second year we will have off-year precinct caucuses. St. Paul has a long tradition of them. The person who was going to be here to testify is the chair of the Minneapolis DFL, and what he's been running into as they've been putting together the caucuses is that because it doesn't say in state law that these off-year caucuses have the same protections as the regular year caucuses, the schools want to charge a larger rate than they did last year, some of the other things that we take for granted for being done for caucuses are left unaddressed. So it's really hard to tell the things that this bill would include, but they are basically three different sections of law. One of them is having leave time from employment. That's 202A.135. The second is preempting school schedules, being excused from employment to attend. And the third thing is the section that that states that public facilities, including colleges, universities, schools, whatever, shall make the facilities available for holding precinct caucuses and conventions at a nominal cost. And so this bill would add them into those three parts into statute for the off-year precinct caucuses so that they're treated just like the legislative year precinct caucuses.
So you could almost think of it as sort of a conforming bill.
There you go. I like that.
Is there any discussion on the bill or questions for Senator Higgins? Would anyone in the audience like to testify either in support or against Senate File 284? Senator Rest?
The current law for the even year caucuses applies only to major political parties as well.
Does anyone know that answer?
The reason why I'm asking that, I'm thinking now, in particularly in Minneapolis, you have a viable third party that elects candidates, the Green Party.
Senator Rest, in Minneapolis, the Republican Party is the third party. The Green Party actually gets more votes than the Republicans.
You've got to rub it in, huh?
Sorry. If they choose to caucus, they would be under that. Yeah.
They're considered a major political party. That's all I wanted to know.
I don't know whether they are holding precinct caucuses or not, but if they were, they would be part of it.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 284 be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Madam Chair, I apologize. On the last motion, I voted because I've been on this committee for so long. I just kind of voted. What?
You threw the vote off.
Yeah, I did. You're right. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm.
There's no more business before the... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Pappas, I'm eager to get to my town hall meeting in Hastings, so I apologize. But please, we will bring back Senate File 160.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Bodden was working on some language, and I don't know if you got that, had time to get that typed up, or...
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, I don't have a typed up. I think it's simple enough that you can take care of it orally.
Then, Madam Chair, I want to move that the committee reconsider the amendment that changed the language on 111. I can't remember what we did there.
But we did that earlier.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed. The motion is adopted. Mr. Bodern, did you want to recommend the language?
Madam Chair and members, what you would do on page 1, line 10, reinstate the stricken has and delete on page 1, line 11, delete everything before or and insert who has notified a public official as required by other law that the candidate is seeking election to a public office. So then the portion of that paragraph that you're amending here would read, would apply to a candidate who has notified a public official as required by other law that the candidate is seeking election to a public office or to campaign workers accompanied by the candidate.
Is there any discussion or any questions about that language? Senator Osteen?
Madam Chair, your point earlier about any kind of a levy question, would that?
That would not be included in this language.
Okay. We'll let another day.
That's another place. Yeah.
Okay. Senator Pappas moves the language that Mr. Bodern.
Could you read it one more time?
On page 1, line 10, reinstate the stricken heads. And on page 1, line 11, delete everything before the first or and insert who has notified a public official as required by other law that the candidate is seeking election to a public office.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed. The amendment is adopted. Senator Pappas?
Then the other issue we had discussed is is allowing campaigning for a ballot measure. And I feel that we should still restrict it to candidates. That would include school board candidates for security purposes. But we could add the language, wherever Mr. Bodern thinks is appropriate, for a candidate, for a ballot measure, or for registering voters, or something like that. Does that sound okay?
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, I think you had suggested on page 1, line 14, following candidate, insert a ballot question, and we ought to move the or around there, but add it to that list of items there.
Okay.
Senator Pappas, my only concern here about this then is that if you are
campaigning against a ballot measure, you may not be a candidate necessarily, but you wouldn't have the same access to a facility as a candidate. So, you know, do we even, if we're not providing equal access, I think I would be more comfortable just not even including the ballot question at this time, and that could be something that we could, the committee could perhaps take up in a different bill. But Senator Rest?
Yeah, Madam Chair, and Senator Pappas, and I would really be interested in having more input from the school boards,
right,
who are not present here. I mean, we have representatives from cities that put ballot questions on, but before we moved in that direction on this bill, I would rather hear from them about their experience and how they could be fair to all sides and things like that, rather than just dump it in here.
Okay, I'll withdraw my amendment.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, I just have a question of whether grammatically if this means what the author wants it to do, and that's line 13 and 14. Candidate and workers seeking amendments to do so solely for A, B, or C, for a candidate, for registering voters, or for getting out the vote. It seems to me a lot of people who are getting out the vote are...
Senator Marty, we already deleted getting out the vote.
Okay.
But, Madam Chair...
Senator Rest.
Since the original language only had one thing, should we delete the word solely? And say, administer the facility... do so for the purpose of campaigning for a candidate
or registering
voters, because that's two things rather than solely. So, Madam Chair, I would move to
Senator Rest moves to delete
line 113 to delete solely.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed. The motion.
motion is adopted.
Senator Pappas, anything else you'd like to add?
Now that Mr. Horner is here. Yeah,
welcome to the committee, Mr. Horner. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jack Horner, representing Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. Just a couple of points. We had notified Senator Pappas earlier that we have supported the bill. We appreciate very much the accommodation. In fact, a couple of years ago, we worked on the language. It had an amendment by Senator Gerlach at that time, and we had supported it. I do want to raise, though, before the subcommittee, I do have some concerns about the exact language that was talked about today, and I just want to consider that. First of all, I do very much appreciate that the word ballot or initiative is not being added, because we do think that that opens things up very much and raises security issues. I mean, you can't check. Somebody comes to the apartment door and says, well, I'm campaigning on a ballot. You have no idea really who that person is and how to check them, whereas, of course, the candidate you know about. And I'm not sure exactly, and I appreciate, Madam Chair, Senator Rest's concern in that regard, or comment in that regard also. I'm not sure exactly, however, what removal of the word solely means. We do want it to just be limited to those three things. I don't know if removing the word solely opens it wide up to these three things plus anything else, or whether it still is clear that only these three things are what's allowed.
Mr. Horner, before you arrived, we deleted the getting out the vote clause. So I think Senator Rest's motion to delete the word solely was more grammatical clarification, so that it would read that seeking admittance to the facility to do so for the purpose of campaigning for a candidate or registering voters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I came running over from another meeting, and I'm sorry I missed that earlier discussion. Pardon? Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Rest, Senator Pappas. That's our comment. We do certainly support the concept and the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Horner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks,
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, Mr. Bodden pointed out what I was trying to get at, and that does relate a little bit to when I was speaking about the word solely, is that you don't want candidates, you don't want somebody to go in there and say, I want to go into your building to campaign for this candidate and register voters, and by the way, I'm going to be selling something else too. And in other words, you could do either or both of those, but nothing else. And Mr. Bodden, I think, said the word exclusively for the purpose of campaigning would accomplish that. So I'll move the word exclusively where the word solely was.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion is adopted. Is there any other discussion on Senate File 160? Would anyone else like to testify on the bill as amended, either opposed or against? Senator Pappas moves that Senate File 160 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Pappas. So now that there's no more business before the committee,